coming up on podcast 1202, your answers to question of the week, and we say thanks to our patron supporters. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, second edition for Sunday, 5th of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I ask you the question of the week, and you give me your answers. This week, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. Was talking about how cars like the IONIQ 5 and trucks like the Ford F-150 Lightning are arriving on the market with plug sockets for domestic plugs being able to draw power from the traction battery at decent levels. Like the IONIQ 5 is going to be able to pull, what is it, like 3.6 kilowatts at least here. The socket is labeled 250 volts because I drove an IONIQ last week, IONIQ 5, and yet all the stat sheets say it's 230 volt. Guess it doesn't really matter, but either way, it's around 3.6 kilowatts. So that is, that's anything that you would have inside your at least domestic situation, you'd be able to pull a 16 amp. So what do you want to plug in to electric vehicles in the future? Surely more going forward, more EVs will have plug sockets on. Now, I like the way that the Ford F-150 Lightning is doing it. They've got some domestic plugs under the frunk lid, which is just enormous, and also on the truck bed as well. Ford do this with their combustion technology already. You can use them as generators, but I'm far more interested in using full electric vehicles to power other things. And I was asking you, what would you like to draw power from? Or what would you like to power that you can draw? Well, Daria Orezi says, I would like to submit a response to question of the week. Personally, I would use vehicle to X at the construction job site. I work in construction, says Daria, and getting temporary power at the site can be a challenge. With V2X, it would be so much easier to provide power to subcontractors for their various power tools. It would certainly be quieter and easier. And you know what? I was looking at some electric construction equipment and I didn't understand all the implications about running combustion vehicles inside. It's obvious when you do even, 5 seconds of thinking about it. But the ability for these vehicles that are all electric construction vehicles to work all day, and they're silent. So you can work at the weekends, you can work all day. Normally the operators have to use them for very short periods of time and then take a health break. That makes so much sense. So yeah, construction, a really big deal for electrification, but plugging things in, I can see, will be very useful for you. Carl Kramer emailed me to say, I'm hoping that EVs with regular plugs leads to towed food trucks getting rid of portable generators. It's awful to queue up for food and be inundated by a loud and stinky engine. Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but you're absolutely right. If you go to a family event in the park or, a music festival or anything like that, there's often some food stands, food trucks, increasingly popular. Certainly when I used to work in the city, food trucks were like the thing that everybody had to stop buying your sandwiches from the supermarket and you'd go to the food truck, which was twice the price on your lunch break because they'd make it there in front of you and all those kind of things. It was the done thing. Food trucks, really big deal in certain places, aren't they? And yeah, you're absolutely right. If you can run them on electricity, holy moly, why would you have a portable generator? Hello to Jafosh, who says, when it arrives, and if I was working in the woodlands, I would run an electric tractor, he says. James Coyle, who is James C. Nerd on Twitter, obviously I would use its own granny cable, then you'd never have to charge again. You mean it'd be self-charging? Wow, I can't believe they have inadvertently invented the perpetual machine. He was joking, obviously. The Life of Brian, or Matey Bloke, on Twitter, says, I did think about running an electric heater in my old plasma TV in my house, but then I read that vehicle to load on the EV6 isn't supposed to be used in the rain. So even if you're camping, it's not weatherproof. I would also worry about the electrical safety of it. Yeah, I didn't know that, Brian. Obviously, I've only driven the Hyundai IONIQ 5. I've not driven the Kia EV6. I think a few select media outlets, the kind of YouTube channels that do car review-y type things. I don't really do those kind of things. I think they've had a chance to drive it. But yeah, it's a question that I would ask anyone at Kia. I should have asked yesterday when I was there for fully charged outside and talking to the team at Kia. And the EV6 was on show, doors were open, you know, very beautiful car, but I didn't ask, can I have a look at the vehicle to load plug and can I use it in the rain? Very good point. Plug-in Power on Twitter says, digital signage and sound systems at EV events. Really need Vehicle2X available via CCS on the charging port to do the really useful stuff, though. I don't know what you mean. I think I know what you mean by that. As in, you want to pull more power. If you want the CCS plug to be able to extract a lot of power, you know, if you can put 130 kilowatts in, you want to take that out? Is that what you're saying? Because, you know, the minute, the way that the Koreans have done it, they've got the little kind of droopy dongle, and it goes into the Type 2 plug, where you would charge it, and then on the end of the droopy dongle, you've got just a domestic plug socket, a 2-pin, 3-pin, etc., depending on where you buy the car. Now, apparently, the actual droopy dongle is designed differently to fit the UK 3-pin plug, which makes it not waterproof, but I need to look in to that. I think it's what you mean anyway. You mean to be useful, you want to pull more than just, you know, 3.6 kilowatts. Duncan says, I just checked and my fridge freezer uses 284 kilowatt hours a year. That is 0.78 kilowatt hours per day. A 77.4 kilowatt hour Ioniq 5 could run my fridge freezer for 99 days. It's dull, but I said to somebody I would work it out. Yeah, Duncan, great stat, actually. But, you know, fridge freezers are a really interesting thing. And now, we don't really have power cuts. Power cuts are a thing that I used to experience when we lived in the country a lot more. It would snow, and the first thing would happen is power cut. Great. Candles out of the drawers. You know, I live in a town called Poole, kind of next to Bournemouth, that a lot of people, you know, would know as a seaside resort. I cannot remember the last time I came home and, you know, we were... The clock on the oven was flashing. It happened a couple of times a while ago, which is why I have a small kind of UPS system for the studio, because I lost some work. But apart from that, it's not like a regular occurrence here. And so you're absolutely right. In places where there are more power cuts than I experience, a fridge freezer would be ideal. Because there's some expense in a fridge freezer, right? The food that you've stacked in there, you don't need to go off and go to waste. It's a really good point. Donegal EV Man says, all the white goods that make camping easier. And Peter Grant says, our camper van. Yeah, so two responses there on the same topic, same theme. I went camping 2 weeks ago with our friends, and there was just a, what's it called, commando plug? The little blue circle, I think it's called commando plug, that they have on the campsites, and I have one of those to a four-way domestic, you know, on a like a 6 meter kind of lead thing that I bought from the camping shop years ago. And so, yeah, we had power, but other times that I've been camping, we haven't. And then what do you do when you haven't got any power? Well, then you're using little, is it butane? The little gas bottles, you're cooking on gas. And not only can that take a little while longer, but also, yeah, you're burning stuff. Now, my friend who we went camping with, she brought her little girl. She had an induction hob, because they go camping all the time at campsites that have power. So she was there cooking whole meals. Now, she had a nice little induction hob, and it boiled water in, I think, about, was it 90 seconds, making a cup of tea? Amazing. Now, I didn't have a look around. I did take a picture of the, you know, of the hob to go and research it, because I definitely want that next time we go camping. But yeah, if that is anything less than 3 kilowatts, and it should be when you think about it, if we had a car that you could take power from, well, that would be ideal, and it'd be so, so useful, and, you know, and much more safe as well. I don't mean cooking on stuff that's burning things and you can, you know, knock it over, and, you know, with the kids and all that kind of stuff. So that, I thought, was utterly brilliant. All right, coming up, we've got more answers to question of the week, and we'll say thanks to our patrons. That is on the way. Keep listening. We were talking also this week about battery chargers, and Paul Peterson says, the battery charger for my hand tools when I'm working without power. I think that'd be a really good point, actually, because, you know, a battery charger doesn't pull a lot of power. So you could, easily charge all of your work tools, your drills, etc., you know, power screwdrivers from your car when you are out and about, rather than just running an inverter off the car. EVs the future, Twitter account says, it's a nice feature to have and might dig you out of a hole at some point, but I'd have preferred a proper car to grid solution. Being able to run some of the house in a power cut would be quite appealing. I guess I'm just excited about the fact that we've got a reasonable way of pulling power from what is a massive traction battery. In the Ford F-150 Lightning, I think the Cybertruck is going to come with domestic outlets. But I know what you mean, like a proper way of plugging into your house and pulling some decent amounts of power. Hassium Quarterdeck says, I already run my microwave and induction hob in my EV camper car. Not decent, but 2 kilowatts. Plenty for me when I'm camping, along with having the heating or air conditioning running. And again, depending on what time of year, yes, both of those, heating or air conditioning, running off the car would be utterly amazing. Alahoom says, a house battery pack. Ah, now I like your thinking, especially if it's not your car. Because if you're charging up your car every day, coming home and then recharging your home's battery pack from your car, I can imagine that would prematurely wear the battery, maybe, you know, by a minuscule amount, I don't know, but yeah, if it wasn't my car, if it was a leased car or something, you're handing it back at the end of your finance arrangement. Yes, you could go to, especially, imagine if you had free charging at work provided by your workplace employer, you know, as a perk, you could go to work, charge up your car, come home, plug it into your home battery, and then run your house from your home battery, which is all fully kind of grid connected and safety connected, because home batteries are. I like the way you're thinking. The tightwad in me likes that. The podcast Take It EV says, I'd run my laptop, my guitar amplifier and photography on location, and lights as well. Good shout. EV Brenner in the US says, in the aftermath of a hurricane, I'd run a fridge, a fan and charge my phone. You know what, EV Brenner, I hadn't even thought about it. Just simple things like, yeah, cell phone charging. If you haven't got any power, that is a lifeline. Matt Sorenek says, let's look at the output waveform, then we'll decide. Okay, yes, you're doing some deeper thinking than I was, but I'm guessing Matt is thinking that he just wants to make sure that that power is, you know, kind of pretty clean, I imagine. And Going Electric UK Twitter account says, a bouncy castle. Yes, I've seen Johnny Smith do that. And Thomas V says, another EV, slightly smiling face. You do joke, I know, with your sort of smiley face emoji, but absolutely, right? If a car can output 3 kilowatts, that's, or 3.6 kilowatts, that's more than most granny chargers will take, about, what, 2.4. So you're absolutely right, in an emergency, and you wouldn't want to do it all the time, but if you needed to, absolutely needed to, you could charge another EV from your EV if it outputted a decent amount of power. Like I say, it'd be a very rare, exceptional circumstance. Maybe it'd be charging up a recreational kind of vehicle, like a motorbike or a quad bike, if you had one of those, electric or something else. But yeah, you could, in theory, charge another EV incredibly slowly, but you could do. Thank you very much for all of your answers to Question of the Week. I really, really enjoyed doing a separate podcast with your answers, because I used to like just rush through it because I was aware that I didn't want to make those Sunday shows, you know, more than 20 minutes. And it always felt like I was cutting answers out. So now I get to feature more and I love it. Thank you so much. Right. Let's set a brand new Question of the Week with emobilitynorway.com. So, in Germany, in Munich, the IAA Mobility Show is this week. You're going to hear a lot about car launches and charger launches and a lot more. The most headline-grabbing cars from the big names will no doubt get the headlines. But what do you think needs electrifying to fill a gap in the market? What do you think we should be hearing about? Not necessarily the big expensive, you know, Mercedes and new BMWs, but what do you think needs electrifying to fill a gap in the market? Get your thinking caps on, then email me and I will read yours out next Sunday. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. EVNewsDaily.com. Let's thank our premium partners of the podcast and everyone who supports this show at exec producer and above level. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, who I missed yesterday at Fully Charged Outside. I can't believe it. He flew from Ireland. I was coming an hour up the M3 and I still missed him. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hi to our partners David and Lisa Allen. Hi guys. Bob Boothby from the Millbrook Cottages. They are 5-star gold self-catering cottages, long-time supporters of the show. I do know that Bob has now configured his new car. I still won't say what it is without checking with him first, but I think he had a lot of fun doing that. His new EV arriving, he won't wait for a new model year, did Bob, but he is a big EV fan. Darren McCleskey at Denovo Real Estate. Hello to Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com with the number 2. Check him out. Rajiv Narayan. Hi to Ian Sear, Juliet Sodergren, and Michael Lumley as well. And all of our exec producers, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, and Bjard Fugstad, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, and Christopher Barth, Colin Hennessy and Cam ZV, who I met over the weekend, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, and DC Evie, Don McAllister, who loved driving his Model 3 recently. Screencastsonline.com is his website. Ed Cortin, Eric Hanson, Erukian Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Heinrich Leisner, Ian Griffiths, and Ian Waddy Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Van der Voort, John, who is Beardy McBeardface from Kent EVs, having a good time at Fully Charged Outside, I see. John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Meyerson, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Carley, Marcel Ward, Marty Young, Mike Winter, and Nathan Gore Brown. Nathaniel Friedman, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, and Ohad Aston and Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Muchet, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Rene Kimick, Rene Schneider, Rob from the RS Thinks channel on YouTube, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas JTS, Todd Oakes, the Plug Seekers, EVU channel. I've worn myself out. The Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel is the words I was trying to say. Have a good one tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.